Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents.
This is Corey Burton, the voice of the El Rey Network. And the Haunted Mansion Holidays, and of course Captain Hook, and many others. And you're listening to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 84 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and welcome to our two-year anniversary show. In this episode, we will be exploring the dark origins of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. So, let's get it started, and let's begin. Hello there, everyone listening. Welcome to the two-year anniversary show of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
Woo! Can we put in some trumpet music there?
That's more work for me. So, all right, joining me now, the Countess of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Cupcake Terror.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom second anniversary show.
So
that's
pleasant.
My Snow White voice.
That was a good Snow White voice, too.
Wow, that was pretty good.
That was good.
Hey.
Also joined by the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom.
Yes. Thank you.
Miss Roxy Tartz.
Thank you for joining us on this show that's primarily about me.
Barely, but slightly.
What are we talking about today?
I believe that is Snow White.
And who's the most important person in the story of Snow White?
The Seven Dwarves.
The Evil Queen. Oh, God. Okay. This is Creepy Kingdom, you guys. Creepy.
I thought Dopey was pretty creepy. I mean, dude never talked.
Talking about me today. Me.
Right. Talking all about you. So, 2 years of Creepy Kingdom. We started off Creepy Kingdom. By we, I mean me. You guys weren't there yet. We started off Creepy Kingdom. First episode, talking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Our 1 year anniversary, we talked about Snow White's Scary Adventures in Disneyland. I don't think you were there for that, Cupcake.
Nope, was not.
Which had the live recording of James and I on the ride at Disneyland for the first time we got to do it together.
Wait a minute.
You were on the ride.
I was on the ride with you.
You were on the ride. You just weren't on the episode.
Okay.
So we had declared on that episode on our anniversary shows, we're gonna go back to Snow White. You know, the one that started it all. And keep remembering our Snow White roots, I guess. And I wanted to talk about the dark origins of Snow White. I think it's an interesting topic in general. A lot of pretty much all of the Disney films that are based on Grimm's fairy tales are a lot darker than we are presented in Disney form.
Well, yeah, they were written for grown-ups.
So we're going to talk about that and also about some other adaptations that have kind of taken off in the post Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs world, which, I mean, really anything after 1937.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of time.
I mean, anything after the 30s is considered totally modern.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is I find it hard to believe anything made Snow White after that wasn't influenced by the Disney film. It's kind of like...
Word.
People could say, no, we really, but I mean.
No, but they're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Tell me again how Walt Disney has no influence on your movie making. Please, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Crickets. All right. Crickets. So let's, without any further ado, let's get this party started.
Woo.
We're going to talk about the Grimm version and some of the differences.
This is from a Huffington Post article by Zoe Triska. She wrote this little blurb for all of you. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. In the Brothers Grimm version, the evil queen's stepmother asks a hunter to take Snow White into the forest and kill her. This also happens in the Disney movie. However, in the story, she asks him to bring her back Snow White's lungs and liver. He can't kill Snow White because he feels bad for her, so he brings back a boar's lungs and liver instead. The queen eats the lungs and liver, believing them to be Snow White's. Yuck. In the book, the queen tries twice, unsuccessfully, to kill Snow White. The third time, when the queen gives her the apple, just like in the movie, Snow White faints and can't be revived. She's placed in a glass coffin. A prince comes and wants to take her away, even though she's still asleep, which is pretty weird. The dwarves hesitantly allow it, and while she's being carried, the carriers trip, causing the poison apple to become dislodged from Snow White's throat. She and the prince, of course, get married. The evil queen is invited. As punishment, she is forced to wear burning hot iron shoes and dance until she drops dead.
Wow.
That's like the... I mean, that is what happened in the Brothers Grimm version, but it's like, I don't know, it's just written in such like a light way, you know? Like, I really like the Brothers Grimm version of Snow White. I like that the queen, like, really does her own dirty work. I mean, let's be honest, she's not real smart, but whatever.
But she's determined.
She is determined. Man, is she determined. If you really want this girl dead, like, just kill her. You know what I mean?
Oh, she tried. She tried. Well, I mean, this article rushes over the two other ways. I mean, there's, of course, the apple, which we're all
familiar with. Yeah, everybody knows about the apple, but she, let's see, there was the...
I think they tightened...
Oh, the bodice. Yeah, so she goes as a corset... She disguises herself as a corset seller, and she goes... And tries to kill Snow White by tightening her into her corset so much that she can't breathe. And she passes out. So Snow White passes out. And the queen's like, oh, cool. I did a bad thing. And then she goes and she walks away. And the next day, the mirror tells her that Snow White's still alive. And she's like, well, crap. So then she decides that she's going to be a comb sales girl or something. And she, like, she goes and combs Snow White's hair with a poison comb. And then... Snow White faints again, and she takes off and is like, ha-ha! And the dwarves revive her because she just fainted. And then she's, like, all mad because the mirror again is like, dude, you might want to think this through. You know, if you really want to kill her, you might want to come up with something better. So then she decides to, like, do the poison apple. And she goes and tries to convince Snow White to eat it. Now, in the original tale, Snow White is a little hesitant about this apple, you know, because the last 2 days, a stranger has come and made her pass out with a corset. And then another stranger came and poisoned her with a comb. So you'd think on the third day she'd be like, look, strange lady, things are not cool around here. I don't think I want your apple. But the queen is smart, and she cuts the apple in half, and she eats the non-poison part to show Snow White that it's okay. And then she gives Snow White the poison part, and then Snow White passes out. Again, this girl likes to faint. That's... Mm-hmm. But seriously, if you really want the girl dead, dude, you're there alone with her. Just stab her. Like,
well, that's not as interesting.
But that's not as interesting, and that's not like that's not how the Grimm brothers did it.
I know, it's not nearly as interesting. But still, it's effective.
It is effective, sure.
I want to read that story.
I just want to take a pause in your little retelling there, Roxy, when you're like, when after the comb one, when she wasn't dead, Snow White's reaction was like, nah, you didn't kill me. Still here. I was just picturing that wacky display.
I'm picturing Snow White doing the deuces. Deuces.
I admire the Evil Queen for her determination, but I cannot admire the original Evil Queen for her lack of intelligence, because, like, if you really want her dead, just kill the little girl, you know? And, like, in the original one, she's even younger than she is in the Disney one.
Yeah, isn't she? She's not even, like, 10 years old in the...
Yeah, in the Disney one, she's 14, but in the original one, she's just a kid.
And, wow.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you seriously want to kill this little girl? Like, just kill her. How hard can it be?
I thought the next thing you were going to say was, and that's wrong. Why would you want to kill a child?
Oh, this is the Evil Queen.
Yeah, I mean, there's that too. Whatever.
This is not Roxy Mom talking. This is Roxy Evil Queen.
I'm just saying. And, okay, so I like in the original story, I love magic in my stories. You know, fairy tales should have magic. I totally agree. But there is no magic in this story. There's two different kinds of poison and basically suffocating her. But, like, there's
what about
no
magic mirror.
Well, the magic mirror and the kiss. I mean, the kiss is
no,
magic.
No. There's no kiss.
There's
no kiss in this one. In
there's
this
no kiss
one,
in the original?
No. So check this out. Okay. In this one, she lays in her glass coffin, decomposing for a while. And a prince comes through the woods, sees her in the glass coffin, and convinces the dwarves that he should get to take her and the coffin with him. He doesn't say why he wants to take her. He doesn't know this little girl. He's just like, oh, look, a little dead girl in a glass coffin. She's really pretty. I'm gonna take her with me. And then his dudes pick up the coffin, and then they trip, and they drop the coffin, and it turns out that she wasn't dead. She just had a piece of poison apple stuck in her throat. So when they trip, it bounces the coffin. The apple unlodges from her throat. She wakes up and is like, oh, thanks for saving me, dude. And they get married.
Wait, he married the 10-year-old?
Word.
Yeah. Or does she just grow up with the apple stuck in her throat?
No, dude.
No,
the apple
comes
out of her throat right then. As they're carrying her coffin away. So
and they get... Are we sure that she was a kid in this story? Let's look at the age here, because that strikes me as odd. It's been a long time since I read the original, so...
Yeah, dude, no. She was young.
Yeah, no, that's creepy upon itself.
I'm glad. Super.
And in the last time that the queen asks the mirror... his answer is, you, my queen, are fair and true, but the young queen is 1,000 times fairer than you. Mm. Young queen.
Let's leave it to the listeners.
No, I mean,
in the comments, right? How old you think Snow White was.
Yes, email said creepykingdom@gmail.com. But how old you think Snow White was. But the thing about, so that's weird, okay, but that's a pretty glaring difference for the end of the Disney movie. Because, I mean, that's pretty much, that's like the foundation of like almost every Disney movie, that true love's kiss is going to come in and make anything happen. So that, I guess that was a completely made up, Disney made up philosophy there.
Thank you, Disney.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
I mean, are we really thanking for that? Is that helped us in life?
Yes, definitely.
That is a classic fairy tale thing that we have all grown up with. I mean, I don't know about as a guy, but as a girl, you know, it's all about someday my prince will come and blah, blah, blah. I mean, then you grow up and you realize you're a strong woman and you don't actually need a prince. But it's nice when you're little.
Okay. Yep.
When you're little, it's great.
Yeah, I guess maybe as a boy, you're like, oh, I have to go do all this work. I have to save this princess.
I
feel like as a boy, you should be looking at these stories and thinking, do I really want to be that creepy? Why I want to go around just kissing dead people? Like, dude, the prince thought Snow White was dead. Okay. Sleeping Beauty was passed out. Like, you know, why are we kissing strangers? Like, at least in Snow White, they weren't strangers. They had met before.
Mm-hmm. Once upon a dream.
Yeah.
No, that's Sleeping Beauty. But I mean, they didn't really even meet. They just sang to each other over a wall. But at least in the Disney version, he recognized her when he was tromping through the woods. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, oh, I've seen this girl before. Okay. Whereas in the original version,
he's like, there's a corpse of a child.
Yeah. And he
bring her with me.
The prince walks up and convinces the dwarves that she's his true love and they should open the coffin and he should be allowed to give her a kiss, you know, goodbye. And so, okay, we'll go with that. And then she springs awake and yay, true love's kiss. But in this one, in the original one, he didn't know her. He didn't want to try to wake her up. He was taking her body.
Maybe he was a scientist and needed to improve his knowledge of the human body.
What do you do with this body? Like, seriously.
I would have asked, if I were a dwarf, I'm like, what are your plans for this body?
It does say that he had to convince them to let him take the body. But
basically, he's like doling out money or gold. Well, and like,
is that what it was? Bribery? Yeah.
Like, what are you going to say? He's the prince. Like, you know, give me the coffin or my men are going to kill you.
Or wait, what's that law that... Oh, I think that might be a little too adult for...
Yeah, this is still a family show.
Still a family show.
That's creepy, though. Creepy.
Super creepy.
I like that she eats Snow White's body parts, or what she thinks are Snow White's body parts. I think that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has the cook, like, cook them up and then eats them.
I mean, it is still pretty gruesome in the Disney version that she requests these things in a box. But I guess that was probably asking too much for her to sit there and eat them.
Well, yeah. And in the Disney version, she asks for the heart.
Right. Not the...
Which is like that whole, you know, love thing again, right. You know.
And it's also considered eating the heart of your enemy makes you stronger.
Yes. No, in the original version, she asks for the lungs and the liver. I'm not sure I want to eat someone's lungs.
Especially if they're smokers. Ew.
I don't think Snow White was a smoker.
I'm just kidding.
She's a child.
Well, if she's marrying a prince, obviously she's old enough to smoke.
It's true. Also, in the Disney version, she is cleaning the dwarves' house she cleaned up the dwarves' house and then she fell asleep on their beds.
Yeah.
And in the original version, she's actually vandalized their house. And then falling asleep on one of the beds.
Goodness. Well, Snow White was just not
that's kind of cool.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah, she went in, she like ate their food, went through all their stuff.
Oh, that's way cooler.
Yeah, and then she fell asleep. Then she tried all of their beds, and the last one was the most comfortable. And so she fell asleep on it. And when they got home, they knew someone had been there because their house was torn apart.
Wow, so pretty much this whole like housekeeper Snow White thing is... is this the product of a 30s mentality?
No. The fact that she was not a juvenile delinquent is a product of the 30s mentality. Mm-hmm. But when she, like, she explains, the dwarves wake her up in the original one, and she explains what happened, and they take pity on her, and they're like, okay, look, if you clean our house and cook and make our beds and wash and sew and knit and keep everything, you know, clean and tidy and blah, 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 you can stay with us.
Okay.
So basically they force her into indentured servitude.
That's pretty creepy.
Right?
Because yeah, what was the consequences if she refused?
She had to leave. She had to go back out in the woods on her own. get out. Mm. Like, so you can be our slave and you can stay here and have a place to live, or GTFO.
Gosh, those doors were super nice.
Oh, dopey.
So, yes. Okay. Yay.
I gotta say, the Brothers Grimm were messed up individuals.
They really were. I love them.
Well, the amazing part is this story is rooted somewhere in history. They didn't come up with it. They found the story. So it's like, what was the original tale that was told?
And there's two.
How disgusting did it have to get for the Brothers Grimm to create this gruesome tale?
There's two. Would you like to know them?
Yeah.
I sure would, Roxy.
Okay. So the theories are that one of them was based on a German countess. No, it was based on, hold on, I'm going to look it up because I don't remember the name. Marguerite van Waldeck, a German countess born to Philip IV in 1533. At the age of 16, Marguerite was forced by her stepmother, Catherine, to move away in Brussels. There, Marguerite fell in love with a prince who would later become Philip II of Spain. Marguerite's father and stepmother disapproved of the relationship as it was politically inconvenient. Marguerite mysteriously died at the age of 21, apparently being poisoned.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That's one theory that it's based on. And then there's another theory that it's based on Maria Sophia von Erthel, I don't know, born in 1729 in Bavaria. She was the daughter of an 18th century landowner, Prince Philip Christoph von Erthel, and his wife, Baroness von Bittendorf. These names. Okay, so the Baroness died, and Prince Philip went on to marry Claudia Elizabeth Maria von Wenigen, Countess of Reichshessen, who was said to dislike her stepchildren very much. The castle where they lived is now a museum and is home to a talking mirror.
What?
Wow, where's that?
It's a toy, okay? It was a toy that was set up by a toy maker, and it could talk to you. It was constructed in, it's got to be here somewhere, 1720 by the mirror manufacturer of the Electrodate de Mons in Lore. And it had been in the house during the time that Maria's stepmother lived there. So technically, she did have a talking mirror.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? That's why it's not like in the original, how I said there's not a lot of magic. And you guys said, well, there's the magic mirror. But like,
never mind. Much tangents. I want to know how they made the mirror talk in the 1700s. It's not like they had a little like tape deck to record on or sound bites on an MP3. Right? So there's some dude sitting on the other side going, "Hey, you look really good today."
Well, let's go. It's at the it's at the Spessart Museum in Bavaria.
All right, field
actually,
trip.
To go, field trip. Creepy coffee field trip.
Creepy Kingdom.
I mean, keep.
What did you say?
Creepy coffee.
Creepy. She's drinking coffee.
She's drinking coffee. Look at this creepy coffee I have. that is the original story of Snow White by the Brothers Grimm, and what they believe it may have been based on.
Okay. Well, there's one other point here we didn't bring up that's different from the Disney movie, is that the Evil Queen is not killed. She is invited to the wedding, and as punishment, she is forced to wear burning hot iron shoes and dance until she drops dead.
Oh, wow. Did you blow that out, Rock?
So... I never liked that. Okay, obviously I didn't like it because the Evil Queen dies. But it's like so out of left field, you know? Like at least in the Disney version, the dwarves like push her off a cliff, you know? Mm. And like that makes sense to me because the dwarves are Snow White's heroes and they're fighting the bad guy. And like, you know, that we're in the woods. That makes sense. No, you must put on these burning hot iron shoes and dance until you drop dead. Like, how long would that take? How long were they at this party for?
That's pretty incredible.
Burning hot metal shoes, your body's going to go into shock within like the first 5 to 10 minutes. So
well, I don't really
death wouldn't be that far behind.
Remember the witch trials? Like, women endure some crazy stuff for days and days and days. And how long does it take you to dehydrate? Like,
quite a few days.
It takes a while, yeah.
Right? And if she had to dance until she dropped dead, like, not dance until she passed out, that means she passed out and they got her back up.
You're like, get up, keep dancing.
Get up.
Keep moving.
So they basically tortured the evil queen until she died. Oh, lovely.
How long? And that was at their wedding.
Well, weddings were really long back then. You know, you have to think about it.
They lasted for days.
Days and days. You have the party, you have the pre-party, the night before party, the actual party, and then like the week-long celebrations afterwards.
Yeah, where we watch people dance until they die.
Obviously.
How did they, but do you recall how they knew that it was the evil queen that was behind all this?
They never really said. They never said how Snow White knew that the queen was behind it, but the queen did not know that the person getting married was Snow White. She thought that Snow White was dead. So she got the invitation to the wedding because, you know, she's a neighboring queen.
Right.
Right. And she was like, I don't know if I'm going to go. And then the magic mirror was like, girl, you pretty, but this young queen is prettier than you. And she was like, oh, now I'm hella going because I want to see this chick. And so she shows up and realizes that the new queen is Snow White. And like, I always just imagine that she kind of like flew into a jealous Maleficent type rage, you know, and was like, how many times do I have to kill you? And then they were like, oh, dude, you know, it's a confession.
Right. They tricked that and it's like time to put on your hot iron shoes and get to dancing.
Now I want to know what came first. What is that movie? The Red Shoes? That story or the Evil Queen's death? No, anyhow.
When was The Red Shoes written?
Well, they made the movie in the 30s?
It was 1948 made the movie.
But that story is...
It was written by Hans Christian Andersen in 1845.
Dude, so what is up with this? And these people writing terrible stories back in the day.
And Snow White was written in 1812. So Snow White came first.
Nice.
Oh,
take that, Hans Christian Andersen.
Christian Andersen.
You're not the only fairy tale person around here.
Brothers Grimm got you.
I guess now it's all going to be about who's better, Brothers Grimm or Hans Christian Andersen.
I'm so on the Grimm side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, explain a little more. It's a little fun to do this, and there's obviously all the Disney movies, not all, but, you know, that we grew up with are, you know, have really dark origins. So we could explore these more. If you guys, the listeners, you guys want us to do more or have one request, you can certainly reach out to us, creepykingdom@gmail.com, and we will do it because these are fun.
Yep. Yeah. I love this. You guys know, like, this is my, I love this stuff.
Is this your bag, baby?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah, the Brothers Grimm also wrote another Snow White story?
No.
Later on? Yep, they wrote one called Snow White and Rose Red.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I've never read that one.
My dad bought me this book, Complete Book of Fairy Tales, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And it's the pages are gold.
Ooh, nice.
You know, like around the outside, they're gold.
Oh,
and it's just
got
this beautiful cover on it. I still have it. I think I've read every story in there like a billion times. One of my favorites was always Bluebeard and his wives. I don't know why. It's kind of creepy. But also, I'm not sure that my dad knew when he bought the book that these were original fairy tales and not like new fairy
abridged version. Sans violence.
So if anyone wonders why I am the way I am,
blame Roxy's father.
That might answer it. He also got me the complete works of Shakespeare when I was really young. So
that's appropriate as well.
Right? Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Roxy.
What's up, Roxy?
Have you guys ever wanted to go to Akron, Ohio?
I've always wanted to go.
Well, did you know that on Monday, December 28th, in Akron, Ohio, at the Akron Main Library, they're showing the Dark Side of Disney documentary?
No way. That's awesome.
That's totally awesome. Now I have a definitely have a reason to go to Akron, Ohio.
Right? That sounds like the best reason ever to go to Akron, Ohio.
Wow. So what time does it start?
It starts at 7 p.m. and goes until 9 p.m.
Wow. Well, where is it? I mean, we're not just going to go to Akron, Ohio and just wander around aimlessly.
No. It's at 60 South High Street, the Akron Main Library in Akron.
I'll be sure to bring my own popcorn.
No, they sell popcorn there. I mean, come on. I think the library makes its money.
Oh, my bad.
Well, the doors open at 6:30, and it's $10 to get into the event. So we really hope to see everybody there for this awesome movie.
So is it just a screening, or is that all we get? What else is going to happen?
There's a screening, and then it's followed by a Q&A with the filmmakers and some of the people in the film.
Wow. That's awesome.
Hey, guys, aren't you both in the movie?
We are.
We totally are in this movie.
Awesome. It was a lot of fun to make, and I really think that anyone who's a Disney fan should go and see it.
I think anyone that's even if you're not a Disney fan, go see it. I think everyone on Earth should all gravitate to Akron, Ohio on December 28th to see the Dark Side of Disney documentary.
That's a great idea. See you all there.
So the Snow White fun isn't over yet, gang. Sounds like we're wrapping it up, but we're not, because this is the second anniversary of Creepy Kingdom. Let's talk a little bit about some proposed adaptations and some that actually came to be. So there was a really bizarre movie that was announced about 5 years ago or so, and it's been put on hiatus for about 3 years ago. So let's talk about that.
From the 2012 Hollywood Reporter article, Disney has put out Order of the Seven, its planned Asia-set adventure movie, on hold indefinitely.
Pronounce that name.
Sarah C. Ronan? Sorry about that. Was set to star, and Michael Gracie was to make his directorial debut on the project, which has been in development at the studio for more than a decade and was, according to several sources, hoping to start production as soon as this summer in London.
Well, that's got the problem. Sorry. They got Master Gracie from the Haunted Mansion to make a directorial debut on it. No wonder the movie didn't get made.
They should have thought this through.
Right?
The project, which began life as a Snow White retelling, was in the midst of finding an international cast to play a band of warriors tasked with protecting a young woman. And even as late as last week, the studio hired Mike Fergus and Hawk Ottsby from Iron Man. I don't know him, to polish the script. Oh, they're writers. Okay. But now sources at Disney say that all development work is being stopped. That's an abrupt about face, even though the project was not officially greenlighted and the studio had not set a release date. Seven was in production and expected to go before the cameras this year. Sources say that in the aftermath of the mega-budgeted John Carter failing at the box office in March, Disney had been scrutinizing budgets on its tentpole movies. Tentpole movies? I don't even know what that is. The budget on Seven, while undisclosed, was high enough to give the studio pause. Having a first-time director involved contributing to the unease. Order of the Seven initially was set up by producer Andrew Gunn as a live-action kung fu take on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. What? But later evolved into a fantasy action adventure tale. The story centered on a young woman in 19th century Hong Kong who escapes her wicked stepmother and takes refuge with seven men belonging to an ancient order dedicated to fighting demons and dragons. Why did this not happen? It sounds amazing.
I would totally watch them.
I would so watch this.
I would hella watch that.
But before we go any further, if anybody in the movie industry could please tell me what a tentpole movie is.
Well,
email it to us.
No, I think what they're saying is like it's one of the major releases of the year. I think that's kind of what they were saying. Like, when a new Pirates movie comes out, you know.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
A tentpole movie is a program or movie that supports the financial performance of a movie studio or television network.
Oh, there we go.
A tentpole movie may be expected to support the sale of tie-in merchandise.
Aha. That makes sense now.
There you go. It's supposed to make money.
Oh, so it's about monies.
Of course. Well, when isn't it about money when it comes to Disney movies? So that's why you do what you do.
Yeah. They're not really about like labor of love, like Blumhouse Productions. They want to make money. Like, Well, it's true. Jason Blum likes making movies that are interesting and have low budgets and that he just, you know, wants to make. Disney? No, Disney makes money, yo.
Dollar dollar bills, yo.
This is not an art house movie production company.
No.
So,
they're not hanging out at the Frida Cinema.
No, for some reason.
Speaking of which, Frida Cinema has a really great Indiegogo campaign for their next year, so go support it. Yay!
Yes, and of course, Frida Cinema is where our documentary debuted. Not ours, we're in it. We were, well, we didn't make it. Dark Side of Disney.
Yeah.
So we didn't, we just did it. Anyway, so, yeah, when it's one of those things when I first heard this, I was like, what? Like, this is weird. Like, that is so. But as I think about it, I was, and like, I kind of fell where you guys were. I was like, yeah, I was like, I would watch that. I mean, it's a really strange concept, you know, but I don't know.
It was a super strange concept just reading about it. But instead, we got by a whole different movie house, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Well, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, a little bit later. Sorry.
I'd much rather
have seen this one than.
I don't think that one can't. I mean, I think probably Snow White and the Huntsman would have come out anyway. I think Snow White and the Huntsman was a reaction to Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
Well, no, didn't Snow White and the Huntsman come out at the same time as Mirror Mirror?
I have no idea.
I want to say that those two were right about the same time.
All right, hold on. Snow White and the Huntsman came out, hold please, June 1st, 2012. And Mirror Mirror came out, hold please, March 30th, 2012.
So they did come out the same year and within very close release dates.
Yeah, days of each other.
Yeah.
All right, so before we move on, do we have any other things to say about this movie, like the Order of the Seven? Because it looks like it's just never going to happen.
Yeah, I doubt it, especially since they already put out Mirror Mirror, and now that they got this Alice stuff along with the next Pirates movie, I doubt this would ever get started.
Mirror Mirror's not a Disney movie, is it?
No.
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 Mirror Mirror was a Disney movie. Very much so. Wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I thought it was.
Cupcake Terror.
Oh, shush, shush, shush.
No. Mirror Mirror was distributed by Relativity. Production is Relativity. Goldman, Rat Entertainment, Mischer Films. Yeah, no. That was...
I totally thought that was like, oh, never mind.
Well, you didn't see it, so at least I'll give you that pass on that.
Mirror Mirror?
She saw it.
Oh, no, I did see it. Oh, I thought you said you didn't.
Yeah.
No, she saw it. She just didn't like it.
Okay. All right. My bad. So, let's talk a little about Snow White and the Huntsman. Roxy, you said you hadn't seen it, right?
I have not seen it. I should and I want to, but I haven't.
Oh, I know what we're going to watch next time I come over.
Right on.
Because you know who's in it?
Yeah, isn't there Hemsworth in it?
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah, there's some sexy men.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that there's also Mouth Breather Stewart in it.
Oh, God. That's why you
didn't see it.
Ah, because it has Kristen Stewart in it. I knew there was a reason I hadn't seen it.
Yep. Oh, Kristen Stewart.
Well, this seemed like I said when it came out, that this was kind of like, you know, it seemed like it was a reaction to Alice in Wonderland, you know, but putting out a darker, creepy fairy tale movie. And I don't know. I thought it had potential to be awesome. But overall, I thought it was a pretty mediocre film.
I think the best part of that movie was Chris Hemsworth and Charlize Theron.
I was going to say.
Her performance as the Evil Queen was phenomenal.
That's the only redeeming value of the film, mm-hmm. is Charlize.
Her costumes. Okay, I know haven't seen the movie, but you know I'm a costume.
Yeah.
All the words I can't think of to say on this show. nut.
Let's bring that back.
Oh, God.
What a costume nut you are, Roxy.
Yeah.
No, right?
No, her wardrobe for the Evil Queen in that movie was outstanding. It really was beautifully done. A lot of the shots are very visually stunning. The action sequences I thought were pretty good. But the really big problem for me was Kristen Stewart. She's not my cup of tea for acting. She's a total mouth breather. Like the way that when she looks at you and it's like, so it's supposed to be super intense and her mouth is like slightly open and she's got like the, I can't even do it. It kind of ruined the movie.
Let's not rag on Kristen too much, man. She's having a tough life.
What, a tough life making movies?
So I decided I just wanted to look it up and see what the internet had to say. But according to the internet, there have been over 100 retellings of Snow White in movies and television.
We should run the gamut of those. And a few of them are actually horror story retellings, too. Mm-hmm. Was Sigourney Weaver in?
Yeah. Oh, that was
good. Something.
It was Snow White. It was called Snow White.
It was just called Snow White.
When was that from?
That was called Snow White, A Tale of Terror. And it was released in, that's right. It was released in 1997. I saw it when I turned 18. That's right.
Well, you just gave out your age on the show right there.
Crap.
Good job.
Oh, man.
A lady never
want to edit that out?
That'd be a weird sentence.
I saw that when non-disclosed age.
I think you should say that. Let's just edit that whole part.
Yeah, no, that was a creepy one.
Was that?
I think I saw it.
Where is it from? Like, it wasn't in the movie theaters? Or...
Yeah,
it was.
Theater. It was released on DVD. It was originally released in August of 97 in the United States. It was released on DVD in January of 99.
That is such a long time to wait. We don't even have to wait like 6 months anymore.
No, we wait like 3 months, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It was put out by, Interscope. Hmm. Interscope Entertainment. Huh. And released on Showtime? What?
Maybe that's who originally aired it.
Maybe it was
HBO would get rights and they would play it.
That's what it seems like. Yeah, because I don't remember hearing. I never heard of this before at all, and it seems like that would have been up my alley.
Right?
At that point in my
life. Oh yeah, definitely. You should put that on your watch list. See if it's on big home movie box office.
Yeah. So it said it received mixed to positive reviews, 60% positive critics on Rotten Tomatoes, but is praised for staying with the dark formula that were once present in fairy tales. And it earned Sigourney Weaver an Emmy nomination, as well as a Screen Actors Guild nomination for supporting lead actress in a TV movie. So I guess it was on Showtime. Oh, that's weird, though. I swear I saw this in the theater.
You imagined it.
Is there another creepy Snow White movie I saw in the theater?
I don't see why there wouldn't be. I mean, that's something we should look at.
Maybe because we never had Showtime either. So
no,
maybe I saw it on DVD.
Well, what else was there? There was another. No, there wasn't there a horror movie like The House of Rose Red or something? And I thought that one was like another Snow White adaptation, but I can be completely wrong.
That I do not know.
So there was a prequel that was in production in the mid-2000s.
Okay, so this was a canceled prequel. In the 2000s, Disney Toon Studios began development on a computer animated prequel to Snow White and the Seven Dwarves titled The Seven Dwarves. Director and screenwriter Mike and Evan pitched a story explaining how the dwarves met and how the evil queen killed Snow White's father and took the throne. According to DISA, Disney Toon Management changed the prequel to center around how Dopey lost his voice upon witnessing the death of his mother. There you go. That's why Dopey doesn't talk. After Disney purchased Pixar in 2006, John Lasseter, Disney Toon's new chief executive officer, canceled it.
There's a lot of... I mean, just to be clear so we all know, Disney Toon Studios is responsible for all these direct-to-DVD sequels to our beloved... classic favorite Disney films.
Bambi 2, Fox and the Hound 2,
Cinderella
Tarzan
2,
Tarzan, Cinderella 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8.
Which, I've seen a few of these. The quality is beyond poor. This is just pandering to young children.
Yeah.
You know,
I did,
like,
I did like a twist in time.
I was going to say, no, Cinderella 3 was cool. I was going to say that was because I watched Cinderella 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I've seen one, whatever. I watched 2, and that was just like, that was not even a movie.
Horrible.
That's not even a movie. Like, that was just like torture. And I'm pretty sure I watched the Little Mermaid ones too. But Cinderella 3, I thought was actually good. I thought that was kind of cool.
But in Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea, we got Melody.
Okay, I guess you don't care. Never mind.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's okay. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, okay. Like, we're not talking about something of really high quality here. And then also the fact that they were going to say that they were going to do a computer-animated prequel to Snow White.
That strikes me as a little silly, seeing how Snow White was the first truly animated movie.
It was the first animated film. And so it's just like...
Well, first full-length animated film.
So it's...
I'll admit, though, I would watch a Snow White prequel, learning about how all the dwarves met and talking about how the Evil Queen killed Snow White's father and took the throne. That story I would totally watch. That sounds interesting. Like, Dopey losing his voice because he witnessed the death of his mother. That can be a little part of it, but I don't want to watch a movie based around that.
Yeah, that's pretty... like, the being the main storyline. That's like... That's pretty depressing.
Good call, John Lasseter. Good call, axing that.
Well, he actually... he killed all of them. Like, when he became completely head of animation in 2006, I don't know if Disney Toon Studios even exists anymore, but he said no more direct-to-DVD sequels. So that was one of the fortunate things that...
Thank you, John Lasseter, for not ruining amazing stories by adding really crappy ones.
No, I mean, they still exist because they've been basically just putting out all the Tinkerbell movies that are going straight to DVD.
I actually like those.
I haven't seen any of them.
They are very cute. I like to put them on if I can't sleep and I need something that's just pretty. They're adorable.
And they did Planes, which was originally supposed to be a direct to DVD, but then they decided to release it theatrically. So Disney Toon Studios is still making stuff.
But they're making better stuff because the Tinkerbell movies really aren't bad, even though they're straight to DVD. And I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't like Planes as much as I liked Cars, but Planes 2 actually wasn't that bad of a movie.
Okay, I don't think they did that one, actually. I think that was Walt Disney Animation.
Oh, studio. Well, it was better than that.
No, my bad. I'm sorry. Disney Toon Studios, you guys did that one, too.
Yeah. I personally think that the second Planes was better than the first one. Just...
I haven't even seen either of those.
I will take your word on both of those.
Yes, apparently I am the expert of movies that no one else wants to see when it comes to Disney cartoons.
Well, and you also are the only one out of everyone here that has a child that will watch these movies. So
that's very true. We see everything in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I sat through Planes in the theater.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know, and I was really excited too because you guys know I'm a huge Cars fan. I loved Cars. We saw Cars 3 times in the theater. Okay.
Wow.
I loved Cars. But Planes? That was a waste of an hour and a half.
At least it's only an hour and a half. It had been worse.
Wow. Everything all right over there?
Yeah, sorry, my computer just made a weird noise at me.
Then why did you look at the ceiling?
I don't know. Cause I wasn't sure there was
something. Oh my gosh.
Behind. Leave me alone, guys.
All right. That's what you get for being on video. All right. So, Mirror Mirror, you two have seen this film. I have not. I had no interest in seeing this movie. You said you had some thoughts on it. It doesn't appear to be too creepy, so I don't think that was the take.
No, it is not creepy at all. It is a very lighthearted take on Snow White. And as Julia Roberts and her big lips and smile and lots of millions of teeth.
Wow, you are a hater.
She does that Julia Roberts laugh in it like hell of times, too, as the Evil Queen.
A lot.
And I love it.
I like Julia Roberts. I think she's adorable, but not
Katie
as...
Katie and I have differing opinions on Mirror Mirror.
Very much so.
Katie is not a fan. Katie's not a fan of Mirror Mirror. I thought it was fabulous and have watched it like a dozen times. But so it actually, it's a Czech movie. I don't know if you guys know that.
No.
Yeah, so it's not actually an American made movie. It was like a Czech American movie. But so it's in English. It was made in English and all of that. But it wasn't made in one of like our more well-known movie studios, which is why it's weird, I guess. Because it's weird.
It is very silly.
The Evil Queen's name is Clementiana. Clementiana?
That sounds like
it sounds
problem.
Like a...
like Clementine, like Clementine, like the I guess like the kind of oranges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of goes with the fact that she's got bright red hair, and also there's a lot of orange in this movie.
I don't know. A ton of orange.
So much orange.
Gracious.
But the costumes in this movie are gorgeous. Just gorgeous. They're so well made, and they're beautiful, and they're big, and they're over the top, and they're high fantasy, and they're just, I want them all. Julie Roberts' dresses are so big in some point that she can't get through the door. Like, it's awesome.
You know the costume designer's looking at these people going, this is, are you sure? This is what you want? You know how many, this is going to be like 35 yards.
Who did the costume design for this movie? I'm going to look now.
Well, while Roxy looks up the costume design, I'm just going to put my two cents in because...
Yeah, say this so we can move on from this because this seems like not that interesting of a movie.
It wasn't. I mean, content-wise, it was a very cute story. The girl that they got to play Snow White was very sweet. The prince, the whole thing, all the actors, it was a lot of fun. The guys that they got to play the dwarves are actually really cool. And when they fought... They were kind of like outlaw bandits, and they would have these like little spring things on their legs so they can jump up and be really, really tall or down to their low original size. So it was kind of neat to see that.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
The dwarves were legitimate bandits who robbed people in the woods. They mugged people. Yeah, that's how the prince comes across them first. But then, of course, nobody wants to say that because they're like, I'm sorry, you were mugged by little people?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get laughed at. But they had these awesome, like, stilt things so they could get really tall, and it caused them to be able to run really fast and, like, do these huge jumps.
That was really cool.
They were pretty cool. Mm.
But there was nothing creepy. There was nothing evil about the Evil Queen.
No, she's
like, she was whiny, and she was very self-centered and egotistical, but not...
I liked her. She was really vain. You know, that was her whole thing. She was not an evil queen. You know, she didn't,
just vain.
Like, although she did do magic. She did have magic because she turned her like footman into a cockroach, which is just rude, you know. But but yeah, she does have magic. She can make magic potions and stuff like that. But she wasn't evil. Like she never tried to kill Snow White. That she just kept her locked up.
Okay.
She actually almost reminded me more of Lady Tremaine than the
Evil Queen.
Yeah. But she was egotistical, and she was vain, and she was stuck up, and she wanted to stay young and beautiful. And, you know, there's this whole scene that's like a spa scene and all of the things that they do to her, to like her beauty regimen to stay young. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
That's actually a really funny scene.
She was very much an evil queen after my own heart. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't feel the need to run around killing little girls, you know, and obviously either did this
thank
lady.
Goodness.
Right? I do feel the need to go and do like ridiculous things to maintain my youth. And wear big, huge dresses with giant bows. So she, you know, that's why I like this movie. Because
I can see that now. All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on from Mirror Mirror.
All right.
You know,
Are you going to talk about Once Upon a Time?
We are. No, we are.
Yes!
Little warning here. We don't have that much time left in the episode.
Oh, okay.
But I felt that as we're doing these adaptations, I know that this is one that a lot of people right now, this is their Snow White. You know, these are their Snow White characters. this is how it's being presented to them. This is so worth bringing up here. So full disclosure, I've only seen one episode of this show, so I don't watch it, but I know you two have seen almost all of them. So.
And also, yes. And also too, spoilers. If you don't want to know anything, don't
listen. Stop listening.
Put
your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la
la la la.
Yeah. Do you want to read the fun time synopsis for those who may not know?
Yeah, the quick synopsis is a TV series, Once Upon a Time, features Snow White, Prince Charming, their daughter and protagonist, Emma Swan, and the evil queen named Regina as the main characters. Recurring characters include the Seven Dwarfs, Snow White's father, well, obviously, the Huntsman, and the Magic Mirror, who is simultaneously the genie of Agrabah from the fairy tale Aladdin.
I actually think that synopsis was written during season one.
I think so, too, because this is a little silly.
Yeah.
Because you find out so much more.
But
you find out that, you know, Snow White and Prince Charming are actually Emma Swan's parents.
Well, they did say that.
Well,
right
they
there.
Did say that.
Their daughter.
Yeah. I love this show.
It is a cool retelling of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the way that they did it. Okay. So we have to focus just on the Snow White part of Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
poop.
Okay, here we go. All right. In it, Regina does marry Snow White's dad. Snow White's mom does die, and Regina, the evil queen, does marry Snow White's dad. All of that is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But Regina does not hate Snow White because she's pretty. She hates Snow White because Snow White betrayed her as a child. So she vows to get revenge, and that's how she goes from being Regina, the queen, to the evil queen.
Okay. And she is evil.
And she is evil. And again, the costumes are amazing. Now, Regina, in modern times, not good costumes. She wears far too many boxy pantsuits. The evil queen in the Enchanted Forest is.
Yeah, they actually have a pattern for Once Upon a Time costumes. I can't remember which pattern company it is, but you can recreate the entire like jacket with the collar that the evil queen wears. I've actually thought about cosplaying her, but that takes a lot of material.
I actually have a collection of over 50 fake snowflakes that I was going to use to make that collar. So you know, we could talk about it. So Regina hates Snow White and makes Snow White out to be basically a bad guy and like hunts her and whatnot. So Snow White has to run away. The villagers still love her and they try to help her, but she becomes an outlaw. She can use a bow. She's like kind of a, you know,
she's
hardcore.
A warrior.
Yeah, she's awesome. She becomes an outlaw to survive. Mm-hmm. She meets the prince, and he's actually on his way to get married to somebody else. But they see each other, and just like in the original Disney movie, they see each other and are just fall in love the moment they meet, even though they don't really like each other the moment they meet. But then they team up and they have all these adventures together and they get married and the evil queen shows up very much like Maleficent at Aurora's birthday party and is like, oh, you think this is going to happen? I got news.
I don't think so.
So.
And enacts a curse on everyone, which throws the people from the story, the fairy tale world, into a modern day town on the East Coast.
Hmm. Yep.
I think it's like near Boston.
They're in Maine.
They're in Maine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which Storybrooke is a beautiful, beautiful little town, and I would love to visit the town where they recorded the show. But the way that they move from the fairy tale world to the Storybrooke world, I think, is beautifully done. Yeah. Flashback sequences.
So what? Here's my thing. I was like, what is actually going on? I mean, I know that's a hard thing to answer, but...
Oh, my gosh. There is so much going on.
You've got four seasons now. I'm saying, what is this parallel universe, and how does the people in Maine relate to the fairy tale universe?
Ah, okay. That's a curse. So the curse. The curse that the evil queen does takes everyone out of the Enchanted Forest, which is where they live. That's the fairy tale world. And puts them in this city called Storybrooke, where she is she's the mayor, so she runs the place, but none of them have memories of who they were. They only know who they are in Storybrooke, and time never moves. They're there for like 23 years, and time never moves. They don't age. They just say the only people that know are Regina, because she knows what's going on, and Rumpelstiltskin. Yep.
Who's another evil antagonist in the show.
Yeah. So eventually Emma, Prince Charming and Snow White's daughter, comes and she breaks the curse and everyone gets their memories back. And so from that point on, it's very much a like fantasy, real world set fantasy show. And there's magic and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Yeah, that was not all defined in the first episode. So I still had no idea.
No. The first half of the season, the first half of the season is basically Emma Swan and this boy finds Emma Swan and brings Emma Swan to Storybrooke because he's
her son.
She's, yeah. Well, okay. I didn't want to do too many spoilers.
Spoilers! Henry's her son, which means that Snow White and Prince Charming are his grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Which is so awesome. So pretty much the first half of the season, the only magic that you see is when they do flashbacks. And then anything that Regina does, because nobody has any magic in Storybrooke. They only have magic in the Enchanted Forest. For the first half of the season, then the curse is broken, and voila, magic returns. Now, with magic comes a price. And so, and Rumpelstiltskin.
Magic comes with a price.
So, my next question here is, so, what is this fairy tale land where all of these tales, all these people know each other? Like, how is...
Well, it's basically, they're taking all of those fairy tale stories, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Mulan... later on, you find out that Frozen is a part of it. It's all in the Enchanted Forest and in this world. They're all brought over into Storybrooke. Well, so they kind of, well, not everything. Everything kind of bleeds in together as they write it.
There are other worlds, too. Storybrooke, the Enchanted Forest is where, like, Snow White, Cinderella, you know, Aurora, where they are from. But then there's also Camelot and Neverland and...
Wonderland.
Yeah, in Wonderland. And there's even and Oz.
Oz. Yay.
But there's even it's called the World Without Color. It's where Dr. Frankenstein is from. We even go to this old black and white like horror movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's really neat. All the different worlds are really neat. And like not everybody knows each other in the Enchanted Forest, but Ariel and Snow White know each other, and you get a flashback of how they met and how they became friends. And like,
All right. Well, this now that you've piqued my interest, and maybe some other people. I mean, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of seasons to catch up on, but you know, I may have watched maybe two or three episodes, and I just was like, I don't know what's happening, and I just lost interest.
You just got to keep with it for a little while.
Yeah, I wasn't committed. I'll be honest. Well, I think that kind of wraps that little talk up there. So, before we get out of here, you guys want to share some thoughts on 2 years of the Creepy Kingdom podcast?
I was super excited when you guys asked me to, like, when James asked me to be a contributor, and recording every so often has always been a lot of fun, and I love the content. How can you not love the content? It's the creepy stuff about Creepy Kingdom, and it's always fun in the Creepy Kingdom. We always have a good time, even when we go on our tangents and be silly. Hey,
tangents are a good time.
Tangents are a really good time.
Yeah. That's where the meat and potatoes gets in there when you go off on tangents.
I love listening to like podcasts that obviously all three of us are not in as well. And I like hearing other people go off on tangents. I'm like, I'm not the only one. I don't get distracted. Ooh, shiny. But yeah, it's been fun, definitely, and I really hope you have many, many more years.
We have years. Don't say it's not.
I was gonna say we. I love the show. This is how James and I met. Like, I will always have a special place in my heart for this show. I wish I had been around since the beginning of this show. I feel like it needs me.
See, this is where you're the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom.
That's right. You can't have a Creepy Kingdom without an evil queen.
You really can't. Like,
no, I hope that we do this for 2 more years, and then 2 more after that, and then 2 more after that, and that Disney keeps giving us awesome content that we can talk about the creepiness of. And I think we have a few pretty good ideas for the upcoming year, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if there is no more, there's plenty of things that already exist that'll keep us chatting away.
True story.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, shout out to you too. And, you know, that's what Creepy Kingdom has brought you two into my life. And, you know, I'm not sure everyone wants to hear that. But also, all the contributors that have ever been on the show, it's incredible. Yeah, I would say all the contributors I met because of the show. I didn't know before I started the show, so that's why it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome to be able to do a show like this and meet people, you know, who have these same interests as you and stuff like that. And then you really become friends with them online and, you know, hopefully in person one day. But like when we did the Creepy Kingdom meetup, the Los Angeles Creepy Kingdom meetup, that was rad. Just to have everybody come and hang out and meet. And that was yay.
Yeah, we plan to do more meetup things in the future. And that's, I guess that's kind of what I also have to say about Creepy Kingdom is that not only is the podcast just kind of getting started, there's like other things within Creepy Kingdom that are on the horizon to kick it more of not just a podcast, but just more of like a
community.
Yeah, a community. And, you know, shout out to the new community that was just started on Facebook. I mean, I made it. It wasn't like somebody else made it, but.
Yeah, no. Seriously, though, shout out to the listeners, especially the people that come back over and over and over again and want to hear what we have to say and that send us emails and.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tweet at us and the people, yeah, our listeners that work at Disney and listen to our podcast at work. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's still pretty mind-blowing.
And without the listeners, really, it wouldn't be a podcast without the listeners.
No, I mean,
without the listeners, we'd just be Skyping.
This is totally it would just be another phone conversation.
If a podcaster falls in the woods. Does anybody hear him? But well, that's kind of the truth. I mean, yeah, I mean, we could definitely just have these conversations privately, but it's so much fun to record them and have other people interact with them and or just be entertained. So we definitely want to thank you for listening and, you know, checking out all the shows. And for the people that have been listening for a while or people that just find the show, you know, that's what this is all about. This isn't, you know, we're not here to say, you know, just listen to us. You know, we're the masters of everything. We like when people interact with us so we can continue the conversation because we're all just like huge Disney fans at the end of the day here. So.
Yeah, and hit us up, man. If you like the show, hit us up on Facebook, on, you know, email, on Twitter, wherever. We love hearing from our listeners. And if you don't like the show, hit us up. Tell us why. We don't know why you're listening if you don't like it, but whatever. Well, you know, we'll hear you out.
Kind of.
Might put you on blast,
but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, well, no. Anyway, so let's on a positive note. So we're inching up on coming up to 100 episodes, woo-hoo! You know, at some point. So, you know, usually on the anniversaries or milestone shows, I don't like to have it be like a retrospective because, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's not what people tune in for, retrospectives. But I feel like we need to do something to commemorate hundreds that is a little out of the ordinary.
I agree.
We'll have to think of something big. Like maybe a live podcast.
Live, like in person, live. Yeah.
Not that far away.
We could do a live video cast like we did for
On Astro World?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I mean, that's the easy thing, but a live event.
Oh, yeah, like an event. Like yeah, yeah. Dance party!
Yes, we're going to record an audio podcast of us dancing.
What, that's not interesting to people? What's going on? Why wouldn't people be interested in
that? Nah, dude, I've seen us dance.
I don't know about you, but my sprinkler dance, awesome.
Off the chain.
My pig terrier is a mean shopping cart, okay?
Oh, I have a mean shopping cart.
Well, again, this is great, great audio content. So... so yeah, I just wanted to again thank our contributors for all that they do for us, meaning the listeners, the show. All that's all part of the fun. So special shout out to Michelle from Disney Dream Girls, who contributes quite regularly. She's already on like a million other podcasts, but She still comes through, which is awesome. And shout out to Adam Leonard for coming through.
Adam.
A shout out to Congorilla, who occasionally every once in a while comes on. One of the earliest contributors, Andy Clark from Andy and Danny's Fast Pass podcast, who definitely helped me kind of shape what the show is during the teenage years.
Which is still one of my favorite podcasts to say.
The Annie and Danny's Fast Pass.
Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast. Yeah. I just really like it.
And Annie just recently had a baby.
Oh, congratulations.
So Yay. Hopefully, I want Annie to come back. We want Annie to come back. I know she's busy dealing with being a mother.
Yeah.
I knew with a newborn child. But, yeah. So, here's to 2 more years.
Clinkies. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. Ding. Once again, if you would like to contact us at the show, you can do so by going to creepykingdom@gmail.com. If you'd like to check out any of our other podcasts, Stephen James' podcast, Roxy's World, and Curvy Cutie Chat, you could do so by going to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, just go to creepykingdom.com. And if you would like to support what we do here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by going to patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, until next time,
keep it creepy.
I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.